SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday now, January the 24th. I'm Joe Ranieri here at the Sports Grid Network. Want to thank you so much for making us a part of your day as we've got plenty of headlines around the sports world here today. We're trying to dissect, of course, a lot happening this weekend in the NFL, as we have our conference championships up, as the 49ers will try to get back to the dance after that epic meltdown in Miami a few years ago, you will recall, against those Kansas City Chiefs. And in the AFC, you're going to have Baltimore and Kansas City looking to get back to the dance. Not too long ago that, Kansas City, they are regulars when it comes to playing for a world championship. But Baltimore and Lamar, is it their time? There's a lot to unpack in both of those games that we're going to get to coming up in this edition of Game Time Decisions. But also headlines across the board here today. The Miami Dolphins and their stud defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, they have apparently mutually agreed to part ways after only one season. Now, there is no shock that Fangio has been one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL for a long, long time. I thought the Dolphins, it was one of the better moves they made last offseason to lock him up and to get him going. But it appears that they both have decided that maybe it's good for a different direction. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Eagles probably have been behind the scenes recruiting Fangio to come their way. As we welcome in our radio audience here on this Wednesday, it is Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, talking some NFL headlines here today, including after 1 year, the Dolphins parting ways with their defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, one of the most respected DCs in the game. He did have a contract underway, but apparently, for whatever reason, it sounds like Miami was willing to let him go, and it appears that he is on his way to Philadelphia to take over that position for the Eagles. Now, Fangio he actually spent the 2022 season as a consultant with the Eagles. He did almost sign an extension there, signed a deal to become their DC, but he ended up going to Miami instead. And now it looks like Philadelphia realized the error of their ways by getting Matt Patricia instead. Had that work out there. And they looks like he is going to take over a very young, they were injured, but underperforming defense there for the Eagles, as Nick Sirianni, this is maybe one of the two biggest hires of his NFL career. Once he solidifies this deal, the next will be getting the right offensive coordinator, as once Shane Steichen left, don't forget Sirianni originally called the plays in that year to the Super Bowl there a couple of seasons back, but he did end up passing the reins off to Shane Steichen. And then, of course, once the season was over there, Steichen ended up going and becoming the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Brian Johnson stepped in. That didn't work, as we learned yesterday, of course, that they have parted ways with him. So Sirianni, this is a great first hire for him, getting Fangio and getting him away from the Dolphins, who had, of course, major injuries on the defensive side of the ball here this year. Getting him away from there is absolutely huge in that first step of filling the coordinator roles. Also, we are hearing, just when you thought you couldn't get enough of Brandon Staley, well, Brandon Staley, the Chargers, former Chargers head coach, was a defensive-minded guy. Don't forget, he was a defensive DC, he is a guy that, which is why it was so shocking that the defenses of the Chargers, while he was the head coach, were so poor. But that was it. He was, I believe it was one season as the defensive coordinator for the Rams in 2020. Then he took the Chargers job. And it just progressively got worse from there. But it does appear that he is getting absolutely some love in the marketplace from the Miami Dolphins, as him and Mike McDaniel actually have a relationship there. They share the same agent, and from what we're hearing, he may very well take over the reins on the defensive side there for the Miami Dolphins. Also, we're hearing Ron Rivera getting some interest in coordinator spots, defensive coordinator spots from a couple of different teams there. That is going to be very interesting to see what happens with him. And of course, Aero Evero, who was the going through right now some head coaching interviews. This is a guy that a lot of people think is going to make not only a great defensive coordinator if he stays in that role. He was the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers this past season. He's 43 years old. That unit was, I mean, just decimated there because the offense couldn't move the ball. But he had a great defense there. And it looks like if he doesn't land a head coaching job, it does look like he may very well be available for a defensive coordinator job somewhere. And I think Miami would be a tremendous spot for him. So we'll have to keep our eyes and ears open here as the rumor mill. Still a lot of vacancies in the head coaching role in the NFL. We heard that another interview with Harbaugh and the Falcons did not come to fruition. We're understanding that maybe, just maybe, they opted to say, well, we're going to hold off on that second interview. Now, whether that is from the Harbaugh side or the Atlanta Falcons side, it depends on who you believe. But that just signals to me that maybe, just maybe, the Falcons are a little bit closer to making a decision, and or Harbaugh is very close to making a decision as far as where he may want to go. Also, one guy that will probably get phone calls, why I have no idea, but the Packers today also fired their defensive coordinator, way overdue there, Joe Barry. And it looks like Green Bay, even though they did turn it around late in the season there into the playoffs, that defense played much better. The reality is they were awful and have been awful under Joe Barry for a couple of years now. So Green Bay Packers are also looking for a DC. So a lot of job openings, still waiting for the dominoes to fall in the head coaching ranks. Who's going to the Chargers? Who's going to the Falcons? Mike Vrabel starting to get a bunch of love here too. So hopefully this week we'll have a little more clarification. We'll dive into some of those games coming up tonight, though, next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on The Grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you hanging out with us here, as we've got plenty going on across the sports betting landscape here tonight. Plenty of NBA action. Looking forward to this slate of games here tonight simply because of the storylines that surround this lineup here. For instance, right at the top, you've got Minnesota taking on the Washington Wizards, and it doesn't happen often when a head coach absolutely throws his team under the bus, but that's what Chris Finch did the other night after apparently Minnesota was more interested in getting Carl Anthony Towns the opportunity to score 60 or more points in a game. They actually forgot they needed to win the game there, and before they knew it, it ended up costing them, as Charlotte just ruined what should have been a great night for Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves, but instead it was a big fat L, and boy oh boy, Finch went absolutely bonkers after that game there, calling out his team. Could not get over it, and good for him. You got to love the accountability there. Well, they're going to be taking on a Wizards team here, and the prevailing thought is we're going to get a defensive effort here big time from Minnesota, who allowed Charlotte to just light them up in that game. The likes we are not usually used to seeing against that Minnesota defense there, but everybody's talking about defense over the last couple of days here now in Minnesota. I mean, congratulations on the 62 points there, Cat. But my goodness, Finch just crushed them for that lazy defensive effort. And you also, I would imagine, are going to get a pretty inspired effort from them. Doesn't mean they're going to win. It just means that I do think Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole, they might have a little more resistance on the court here tonight. Maybe look at a Washington Wizards team total to go under right around that 109, maybe 108 mark, somewhere in that ballpark there. That is going to be an interesting game simply from what kind of response do we get from when a head coach absolutely destroys his team's effort when they were celebrating a big historic 62-point effort by Karl Anthony Towns. Now, speaking of coach, how about the Milwaukee Bucks here tonight? Going to take the court in their first game since, well, getting Adrian Griffin, their head coach, canned. And that's right. We learned about this yesterday. We thought that was very interesting here, that the Milwaukee Bucks, who, I mean, it's not like they're in last place. You know, it's not like the Milwaukee Bucks haven't shown signs of greatness. They certainly have the players, but there were enough instances to say and to show that things were not good in Milwaukee here. I mean, it was clear to anyone watching the Bucks this year that the relationship between Giannis and Griffin on the sidelines, in the locker room, often not good. So what does Milwaukee do? Well, they fire him, and they now agree to a contract with, I mean, if you want to win in the playoffs, right? If your goal is to get back to the playoffs and win a championship, who better to bring in than Doc? What's that? Doc Rivers. Oh, yeah, that's right. Doc Rivers is no good in the playoffs. I don't know what in the hell the Milwaukee Bucks think they're getting with Doc Rivers here, but he is on his way to the team. But before he gets there, they have a game here tonight against what I think, and I think the market believes, has been one of the best team in the NBA over the last couple of weeks, and that is the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have been going scorched earth since their trip to France. This team has been playing inspired basketball, great basketball here, the Cavs. Not to mention, one of their wins over the last couple of weeks happened to come against the Milwaukee Bucks a week ago. And what it, how did that end? Well, that ended with a beatdown of epic beatdown. We're talking about a 40-point win by the Cavs against the Bucks. Now, Giannis did not play in that game. We get that, but he is playing in this game here tonight. And Milwaukee, just a week ago, getting embarrassed like that, now has an opportunity to prove to the world that it wasn't they that were the issue. It was their head coach. And now that he's no longer there, well, then we should see nothing but defense here tonight. We should see nothing but an inspired effort. Now, I got to believe Giannis is going to come out guns blazing here tonight, because something tells me a coach doesn't get fired after 45, 50 games in a season when you're 20 games above 500. A coach does not get fired unless your superstar on a team approves it or cannot handle working with him anymore. And I think that's exactly it. But what a fool Giannis and they will look is if they get boat raced by Cleveland again here tonight at home. All we keep hearing about is that they feel much better now. They love the Doc Rivers hire. They are going to play inspired. And I truly believe they are going to come out and give the best effort they have. But the question is that good enough? Because I'm pretty sure Dame Lillard, no matter who the coach is not going to play any defense here tonight. But we do know that Cleveland likes to play some defense. We know Mitchell loves to chuck up threes. We know this team, Cleveland, playing its best basketball. The number keeps rising, though. 6.5 overnight to 7, 7.5 starting to pop up. I do think this is a good time to sell high on the Cleveland Cavs because I do not believe they are as elite as the market believes they are. I do think this is a good spot for Milwaukee. Too much firepower. If they play just a little bit of defense, they should not only avenge the loss, the embarrassing loss from a week ago, they should be able to start their new era with Doc Rivers with a W. And that is exactly what is happening and coming up here tonight. So those right off the bat are two great storylines that the NBA is giving us. We also have Oklahoma City taking on San Antonio, and that should be an interesting game because I truly believe OKC is a team that is coming together at the right time here, guys. The future looks really bright, but is it bright enough that we want to lay 320 against San Antonio? Not to mention Oklahoma City barely won against the Portland Trailblazers last night. A lot of controversy there about whether Portland actually got the timeout late. They're playing that game under protest. OKC won it, but now this is the second of a back-to-back. And yes, it is against San Antonio, but let's be realistic. They barely won against Portland last night. So also keep in mind, too, over the last 11 games, the Spurs have actually ratcheted up the defense here a little bit. 14th in the league in defensive rating here over the last 2.5 weeks. So Pop has got them. They were 25th, and now they are 14th. So that is a huge effort, and that's all defense is in the NBA. It's not scheme. It's effort with these guys. And you got to love the effort San Antonio has been putting into that side of the ball. And if that continues into this game here tonight, you may want to consider taking as many points as humanly possible. And also, the Golden State Warriors, finally, after the tragic passing of their assistant coach, they are taking the court tonight, laying 6.5 against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll have much more on this lineup here tonight, but amazing storylines, amazing games, not to mention on the ice. We'll take a look at the NHL when we return here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, joined by the one and only Mr. George Kurtz here tonight in the Sports Grid Network. And George, we've got a loaded slate on the ice in the NHL, and we'll start there because it's been an interesting couple of days, especially if you've been backing big dogs here. You mentioned it a couple of nights ago. In fact, Monday night, the Kings and the Sharks still trying to figure. The Kings are still trying to figure out where it went wrong, as they were nearly a $4 favorite in that game. I don't know that we have that big a dog on the card here tonight, but I do think it's a good bounce back spot for the Panthers here tonight, taking on Arizona. They're about -250 here, but at some point they're going to bounce back here. Is tonight the night?
I mean, listen, I think the Panthers are one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, if not the NHL. But -250 against Arizona is not a bad team. We're not talking about Chicago Blackhawks here with San Jose Sharks. Arizona's a pesky little team. Yeah, they're on the cusp of a playoff team. All right, they're either right in the eighth spot or right out of the eighth spot there. So they're right there. I'm not laying on 250 with the Panthers. I'm not. They are the better team. Do I think they'll win? Sure, but I'm not paying that price. And since I'm unsure if they're going to win or not, they're not a great parlay team for me either. I think it's the game more if you want to go as far as props or anytime goal score, sure. You can go with Kachuk or Verhaeghe. Arizona, go Keller. He's had a very good season there. I'd probably go that direction rather than taking the Panthers straight up or putting them in a parlay.
Yeah, I mean, even the puck line here tonight at plus money may not be a bad look if you think they're going to be in good form. But once again, Bobrovsky's hit or miss. Started the season great and then just starts to come back down to earth, and it's never a good thing. But what about the Winnipeg Jets here? Are you a believer that they go on the road and handle the Maple Leafs tonight?
The problem with Winnipeg is this. They've had a fantastic season. Well, again, another team that a very pleasant – surprise is probably too strong a word, but we didn't see them playing this well. All right? I mean, they were right. – Joe, during the offseason, we were crushing them because is Scheifele going to stay? Hellebuyck, they both seemed to want out. They had to buy out Blake Wheeler. They re-signed both. Now they're one of the best teams in the NHL. However, Scheifele's not playing tonight. Right? He's on the IL. Mm. They did get Kyle Connor back about a week ago, but he's only had one goal in three or four games with returning, and that one goal was an empty netter. So he's still trying to get his feet under him there. So I kind of like Toronto tonight. You know, I think that's where I would go here. Normally in this game would be an easy over for me as well, but even the books know this. It's even money. Even they know Winnipeg probably not going to score the goals that we expect from them tonight. I still lean towards the over because I don't trust Sampson, Jones, Wall, who's ever going in net there for Toronto. Don't trust them there, but not enough for me to put any money. I lean Toronto in this game. I think they get it done.
Yeah, I mean, 2-4-1 in their last seven games is not exactly encouragement there. I'm with you, George. What about the Bruins, though? Laying a small number, -140, 6 is a total against the Hurricanes. Bruins at home? Am I missing something?
If you are, I don't know what it is, because I thought this was a little wacky as well here. Smells a little bit. Hey, -146 is a little high, but it's not drastically high for a Bruins team. Mm. It's not that Carolina's a bad team. I think Carolina, when fully healthy, there it is one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, but they're not fully healthy. Ante Rantanen's a net. He's their third-string goalie now, right? Anderson won, Kochetkov had taken over the starting job before the concussion, and then Ranta, who at one point was very close to being released by the team who was playing so poorly, all right? And maybe more importantly, Svechnikov is also out tonight. He's not going to play. So I'm surprised this number is not a dime higher, maybe even 15 cents higher here. Give me the Bruins. Like I said, it's in Boston. You could make it up. Carolina's not there, too. It's definitely two of their top players, not their top two players here. Give me the Bruins. I think they take care of business here. I'm going to have Pasternak for an anytime goal as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Very strange number in this one. I am absolutely, see what you think here. I am going to take the puck line with the Caps here tonight as they are taking on the red hot Colorado Avalanche here. And I mean, listen, Gert, they can't keep scoring seven goals a game. It's just not going to happen with the Avs. I mean, now, granted, they have been for what, 14 goals, I think, in the last couple of games. They have been great, but call me crazy here. Would not shock me at all if the Caps have an opportunity to win this game outright late in the third. So I don't mind taking the puck line at plus money.
I'm going to leave you alone to do that. All right. This is my part. One of my parlays. Okay. I'm going to take the Caps to beat. The Colorado Avalanche to beat the Caps here. The Caps have been doing it with mirrors all season long. Well, I mean, come on. Ovechkin doesn't even have double digit goals yet. He's not scoring at all. It looks like Father Time has caught up to him in a big way here. How is this team winning? How are they winning here? All right, so it's just what they've done here. And even John Carlson, the old pro defenseman, he's not playing all that well. He's had a solid year, but not a John Carlson year. I know Oshie's been up and down, been hurt a lot here. Kuznetsov is on the back of a milk carton. No one knows what's going on with him. I don't know how this team wins games ever. All right, now I don't think they're a playoff team here. It's it's in Colorado. They are hot. McKinnon scoring like 17 points a game here. Give me the Avalanche all day here. I can't trust the Caps at all. That being said, the unsung hero for the Caps is Charles Lindgren. Now, I haven't checked before if he's going to be the goalie type, but he has been their unsung hero. He should be the number one goaltender, not Darcy Kemper.
Talk to me about the Canucks here. Vancouver tonight, I think, about a $2 favorite taking on the Blues. What are we thinking we're going to get in this one? How are you leaning it?
Yeah, 240 here. They were sort of that other team. Like, do I want to take Vancouver as my second half of the parlay? Or do I want to go with the team in the next game? I want the team in the next game here. It's nothing against Vancouver. I think they win the game here. St. Louis is the problem. Joe, sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't. Bennington sometimes plays, wow, he's really good. And sometimes he's, you know, he's got more holes than a slice of Swiss cheese there. You just don't know which team is going to show up here for the St. Louis Blues, which is why I stayed away from them as far as the parlay. I think the Canucks win the game here. They're the more talented team. You want to go with an anytime goal scorer, Pettersson, JT Miller would be my top two choices here. Maybe you want to go Quinn Hughes to get up a point or maybe a point on the power play there. Vancouver scores, and they score in bunches here. Demko is... if he's not the Vezina Trophy leader, he's certainly top two, top three. He's played fantastic for the Canucks. Shutout in his last game here. I like the Canucks a lot. I just chose the Kraken as my parlay partner instead of the Canucks, but I think they take care of business tonight.
Oh, player, big swing for the fences there, fading the Blackhawks. Talk to me about the Sabres and the Kings. It's always been, well, at one time during the season, it was just over and forget about it with the Sabres and the Kings. What are we at that point with these two teams? Just take the over, expect some goals?
No, because we know the Sabres can score. They generally can't stop them. The Kings are not scoring right now. All right, you've already said, what was your opening this segment, right? You know, the monster favorites the last two nights have screwed us. Well, the Kings were one of those favorites Monday night. And a bunch of us, I think everybody on this network had the Kings. You know, maybe the second half of a parlay, whatever it might have been. I know I did. And they didn't show up against San Jose. They didn't show up against. And it was even more disappointing is they're losing, right? And then they tie it late. They come out of nowhere. It's, all right, they'll win it in overtime. They're the better team. No, they don't score in overtime. All right, they're the better team in the shootout. They'll win. No, they lose in the shootout. So they screwed you twice. All right, no. They haven't been scoring goals now for weeks. All right, they generally don't let up a lot, but they haven't been scoring goals for weeks. Now, the Sabres can score goals here. I can't trust the Kings. Just can't do it. I do want to – I really want to take the over. That's where I want to go here. But for all I know, the Kings are going to lose 4-2. You know, because they can't put the puck in the net. I can't trust them right now. I'm leaving this game alone. The Kings are going to have to show me something before I go back to this well. Like I said, that Monday's loss is very fresh in my mind of how, like I said, they screwed us over. Maybe the San Jose Sharks screwed us over because they beat the Rangers last night as well. Once again, just destroying the second half of a lot of people's parlays.
Yeah, no, they've been, it's not been good at all their last couple of nights. And who knows, is the Blackhawks, I mean, you're on the Kraken here, but the Blackhawks, I guess, are the biggest dog on the card here tonight, right? Or what, more than $3 here, Kurtz?
They're 285, so it's not quite three. The Blackhawks, listen, they've been they're a bad team. All right, but they've been pesky. They don't get blown out all that. It's not the San Jose Sharks who were losing 9-0 at times in October, right? It was a joke. You know, the Blackhawks have generally been somewhat competitive. So I think they'll make me sweat it out tonight. I do think they'll make me sweat it out. I don't think they're going to lose 6-1. I'd like them to lose 6-1, but I don't think they will. But still, Seattle has been a really hot team here. They're playing well. They have found their mojo from last season. It took a while. It took about 2.5 months, but they have found their mojo here. They're playing well. Grubauer was just activated off long-term IR. Not that, that means much. DeCourt just saw a beat of start. He's been playing really well for them. But I like Seattle a whole bunch in this game. I just don't see Seattle being that team that will have a letdown versus a bad team. You know what I mean? We know some teams, we're playing Chicago. We'll throw our helmets on there. Well, the game's over. I don't think Seattle is that kind of team. They're more of a lunch pail team. I think they'll take care of business tonight. So, yeah, they are the second half of my parlay. But like I said, I don't mind you going with Vancouver either. And that's where you want them to go. I think they win also here. Either way, I think you're good.
So we talked the other night, Sunday, Patrick Roy, the new coach of the Islanders there. They came back and they beat Dallas. They almost came back and beat the Golden Knights last night, trying to get into overtime here. So far, so good in your mind here? Are you, change is good for the Islanders?
I don't think it's bad. Man, I'm a Patrick Roy guy. I think he's a guy who's interesting. He's fun. He's going to make the press conference more interesting, and he'll get through the team. Right? The team can now no longer ignore the head coach, Lane Lambert. He was a nothing player. What does he know? You know, Patrick Roy, we know, is a god. All right, one of the best, if not the best, NHL goaltender of all time. So I don't think it hurts. The two games for the Islanders were interesting. They probably should have lost Sunday and probably should have won last night if you go on by how they played. But, Sorokin played great Sunday, and last night Aiden Hill played well. I think it's good for the Islanders, but I still don't think they're a playoff team, Joe.
Well, it's stranger things have happened here, but we'll see if they can get back on track here. Maybe just be a little more hard-nosed. It'd be great, Karts. Appreciate the time. Good luck with those plays. Game Time Decisions returns after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network on this Wednesday. Certainly appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us as, well, we got plenty of games here tonight. College basketball, NHL, NBA. Oh, yeah, we still got a couple of football games that remain in the National Football League. And nobody better to talk some NFL with than the man that's been cashing them tickets all season long for us, Chris Thurston, CT Betts, stepping up here on Game Time Decisions. Heck of a week last week. Interesting. Big favorites, 1-1. It's gone according to plan. Listen, I think we have the best four teams here, right? So the bottom, that's kind of all you hope to when you get to this point of the season is have the four best teams. Let's start in the AFC. No doubt, Kansas City, all their faults. They deserve to be here. Baltimore certainly deserves to be here. So what are we going to get with this battle royale in Baltimore here on Sunday?
Yeah, you can't ask for a better one here in the AFC, Joe. And I think these offenses are both in for a really difficult task going against these solid D for both the Chiefs and the Ravens. I backed the Chiefs the last 2 weeks. We cashed that nicely. And the offense for the Chiefs has been much better than we saw during the regular season, right? I do think a lot of that has to do with how kind of decimated the Finns and the Bills were on defense. I said that in both handicaps on this show. The Ravens defense is kind of a total different animal here. And the linebackers here, like for the Ravens, man, there's going to be a tall, tall task for this KC offense. I think KC is really going to need to establish the run game to kind of stay in the game here. It's going to be very much more difficult for KC to score this weekend than the last two games. The Ravens, on the other hand, they're probably going to look to kind of play action passes quite a bit. The good news for Kansas City, like on this, is that they could overload the box, right, and make the wideouts try and make big plays here. Against the Chiefs, have an absolutely amazing secondary. The Chiefs made some nice adjustments that we saw in the second half versus the Bills, and that paid off for them. Let's not be surprised if we see that them be able to do the same thing here against the flock. I think it's going to be a hard-fought, grinded-out game here. Expect the ball to be kept on the ground quite a bit for both teams. Chewing up some clock here, I think we have a fairly low-scoring game on our hands, and I'm going to play the under here. I'm going under 44.5 in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, some crazy stats with Kansas City in the second half. Talk about Spags and adjustments. They average giving up only 7 points in the second half of games this year, and no team hit 30 on them. Like, no team's ever dropped 30 on KC. So they are younger. They are, I mean, the best defense we've seen Mahomes have. You give the edge experience-wise, obviously, to KC, but it's not going to be enough to get them past this hump, or is it?
You know, I keep going back and forth on this one on the side, Joe. And you know what? Last night when we were sleeping, I missed a four. I guess at a few books, yeah, it clicked four last night. And I wish I was able to get that. Now it's pretty much back to 3.5 everywhere. Joe, I do think the Ravens win this game, right? I was just talking to our good friend Ariel Epstein. She was telling me about how all the old school Ravens are going to be in the house. They're going to be coming out of the tunnel. She said Ray Lewis is going to be doing his dance. The place is going to be going insane. Finally, Harbaugh was able to keep pretty much everybody healthy this year. Harbaugh is a great coach. Obviously, Coach Fatso is a great coach. But, man, we've seen this Chiefs team in this position. What? This is the 5 out of last 6 years that they've been in the AFC Championship? It's absolutely absurd. I think give the edge to the Ravens here. They're at home. Like I said before, Chiefs got to go against a couple decimated defenses there. Paid off for them. This is a much taller task. I think the Ravens win this game, but won't be surprised to see see the Chiefs get the cover here. 3.5, 4. It's tough to give to 1.5.
It really, really is. All right, CT, we do, speaking of which, we have some breaking news before we get to the Lions and Niners. And it was just announced, and we mentioned it earlier, Harbaugh, the other Harbaugh, on his way to be the head coach of the Chargers. Looks like that deal is happening. He'll be leaving Michigan and heading back to the NFL, so we'll have much more on that coming up. And I knew when they canceled that second meeting with Atlanta, that's probably the reason why the deal was already done there. Like that fit. But his former team, the 49ers, they're at home. They're taking on everyone's favorite dog, the Cinderella. Only there are no Cinderellas. Are there, Chris?
I don't think so. I agree with you. I think the best four teams are here, and I don't think we're going to see a Cinderella this weekend, especially in this one, Joe. It's no surprise, right, Joe? We saw it last weekend. The Niners' offense, totally different without Debo, right? He brings that offense to a totally different level with his silky smooth playmaking and, of course, his ability to run after he makes the catch. But without him, defenses are able to kind of dial in on guys like Ayuk, put more pressure on guys like him. And with Debo in the game, it's much easier for those guys to free up, like guys like Ayuk, guys like Kittle. And then we saw Purdy, right? He struggled in that weather big time last weekend. The good news for the Niners is the weather in Santa Clara looks much better and clear skies. That's weather that Purdy excels in and he needs. He's very uncomfortable in that type of weather from last weekend. It was very noticeable. I think maybe we got some nerves out too. So that could be a benefit for the Niners. He needs to play in great weather, clear skies. So the Lions, who have had both their playoff games at home in the dome, they need to travel here to Santa Clara outside of their comfort zone, right? Check this out, Joe. The Lions only played outside a dome once in the past 12 games. And that one time was December 10th at Chicago. Every other road game was in a dome that they played. And I think that's going to be a pretty difficult task for them to not be inside their comfort zone. I played the Niners already, -6.5, -115, because I think Debo's going to play. And I don't know to what extent he's going to be effective, but I think when it's announced, I won't be surprised to see this line close 7.5 or 8. Niners have a massive edge with him in the game, even if he's just a decoy. If he doesn't go, I still like Purdy to pick apart this D with Jennings, IU, Kittle. Spotlight's going to be too big for head coach Dan Campbell this weekend. Big coaching mismatch here. Niners D will be a lot better than what we saw last weekend. So I played on the Niners, -6.5, and sake of the show, -7.
You got to give him credit, man. I mean, 6 of 7 in a red zone for touchdowns this postseason, man. They made big plays, extended drives when they needed to late in games. They've won the turnover battle. It's crazy, CT. They got to be better than that, I think, in this game in order to be able to get it done. But, I mean, hats off. And you can't say enough great things about what Detroit and Dan Campbell and this team can be. But I do think this is where it is going to end. So according to you, I think we might see the Niners representing, and your gut tells you, Baltimore on the other side. So 49 and 2 number one seeds. Chalky, is that where we're heading, you think?
It is. It's chalky, but I think that's the scenario we're gonna see after it's all said and done. Championship Sunday, right? Ravens.
Who's the favorite
Niners
in that game?
In the Super Bowl. Niners will be favored, I think. Well, last I saw, John Murray was going to make it a pick, and he said it would probably close San Fran -1 if Debo was healthy. I think one. I think that's pretty fair there. Depending, let's see what happens to Debo this weekend. God forbid he plays and gets hurt again. I don't know. That line could change.
That line is going to change without him because he means an awful lot to that 49ers team. But as of now, looks like he will be going. All right, so we go from the NFL. Let's talk college hoops here tonight. You circled the game for us. Is this Big Ten? Where are we going here tonight?
Yeah, we're going Big Ten. Illinois travels to Northwestern, and Illinois took care of business versus Northwestern in Illini. I think they beat them by 30 earlier in the year. Joe, it's really hard to win in the Big Ten and the Big 12 on the road. We're not going to play a side tonight. We're going with a total. And the Illini have been very impressive, right? And they just got even more dangerous because they got back sharpshooter Terrence Shannon Jr. from suspension last game. Even though he was very rusty last game, he didn't put up many points. They put up 86 still in a win over Rutgers. The Illini have talent all over the floor, and all five guys, when they're on the floor, all five starters can score. So everyone's kind of been saying that they're going to see some regression from the Illini offense. I think it's probably coming. I don't think they could kind of keep the pace that they've been going at, but I think they should be okay tonight. They're going to put up some points. And you look at the other side, the Wildcats, they're no slouch on offense themselves either. They barely turn the ball over. Cats are also one of the best three-point shooting teams in the Big Ten. The backcourt duo, Boo Booey and Ty Berry, both can flat-out shoot the ball. Then add in the forward, Ryan Langborg. He could also light it up from deep. I think we're going to see some scoring from both teams tonight. I think the Cats will be able to kind of keep pace with the Illini. Let's go up and over. 145 it's down to now, Joe, before we hopped on.
Yeah.
So up and over 145, and we get the cash there. I think it's a high-scoring game here, and they will keep pace with the Cats will keep pace with the Illini at home there.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, it's amazing how they've kind of been chameleon-like. Everyone thinks Northwestern, slow pace, lot of defense, but they have been more than willing to go up and at them with other teams here this year, scoring a lot of points. So that might have been different if Bowie didn't go 2-for-15 from three against Nebraska. Might have had a different story there in that last game. But I'm with you. I think there's points coming in this one. And Illinois quietly becoming a very difficult team for people to be able to handle. Not like my Oklahoma State Cowboys, however, where just scream it from the rooftops. Next time we know anybody that says, I'm gonna take Oklahoma State. No, tell them no, CT, please.
Joe, I felt for those guys last night. A couple of our friends had your pokes, and man, that was a tough one to swallow for them. Joe, how good is this conference, right? It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
Six teams from the Big 12 are in KenPom's top 25. It's a battle every single night. I was on the Houston Cougars last night, and that they're laying two on the road in BYU. You know how hard it is to play in that high altitude. That's a tough, tough game. They ended up grinding it out. But, man, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Houston, KU, Baylor, Iowa State, even OU. Texas, I mean, these are all teams that you could expect to see in the big dance, Joe. It's going to be fun down the stretch here.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, they're all – North Carolina's not really that good, CT, but it'll be interesting to see how they work it out here, my friend. CT, Chris Thurston, my man, always a pleasure, brother. Let's cash those tickets. We'll talk to you again next week. Game Time Decisions returns next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as we close out this first hour of Game Time Decisions. Much more still to come, including breaking news, if you are just joining us here on the Sports Grid Network, it is being reported that Jim Harbaugh will be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, which means he will be leaving the Michigan Wolverines right after winning the national championship this past year. Now, we did tell you earlier That we did find a little strange that it was being reported the second interview with the Atlanta Falcons for the head coaching job was canceled. And I did think that was a pretty good indicator that either the Falcons were about to hire somebody or Jim Harbaugh had made his decision to take another job. And that's exactly what it appears to be done. Looks like the Chargers are in the process right now. He is in L.A. It has been confirmed that he stayed out in L.A. So it looks like that's what's going on, according to I believe Jordan Schultz is a reporter in the L.A. area that is reporting that is where he is going to go. That means Harbaugh will return to the NFL to coach where he retired as a player in the year. Anybody want to take a guess? The last time Harbaugh threw a football in the NFL? Yeah, this is an awful number. 2000. That's right. Harbaugh will coach the team that he retired with as a player back in the year 2000. He is on his way. If I am the Justin Herbert, I could not. I mean, I am cracked the bottles, my man. You've got yourself a head coach that you might actually be able to win with this time. We'll have much more on this. Plus, we'll take a look at the upcoming games tonight here as Game Time Decisions continues next on The Grid.